Philip Morgan.
Liston.io. Liston.io.
That's me. Philip, welcome to the Offline Podcast.
Thank you. It is nice to be here on the Offline Podcast.
It sounds so formal. We never identify what the hell this is. So I figured I should say at least this is the Offline Podcast at the top.
I was listening to a very recent episode of this self-same podcast just moments before I got on the call with you. And we were having this conversation where you said we need to do some branding. So now that we're here on the Offline Podcast, where it's two consultants who live in the online world but talk about online things offline. Good to see you, my man. How are you doing?
Good to see you too. Good to be seen. And today is my birthday. And so I actually feel really lucky today to talk to you and some other people who I really just enjoy talking to. So that's like a major testament to the advancement of my business. Let's leave the money out of it for a second. Just being able to talk to you on my birthday is awesome. So I'm happy to be here.
I know. I'm glad you're getting to fart around with me on your birthday.
I know. It's Philip, you are the kindest gift giver I've ever met.
Well, Liston, what would you like to promote today?
What I would like to promote is my other podcast, my other home on the air. On the air? I don't know. In your downloads folder? It's called the Liston.io show. I recently launched on my site a page dedicated to it, Liston.io/podcast. From there, you can subscribe in the podcatcher of your choice. And that podcast is a combination of a few things. I give a monthly update on my business. I also give my sales advice for how to sell services more effectively. And I also talk to industry experts and real consultants about how they've been able to build or advance their businesses. So Liston.io show. And if you have a question for me, I do have a place there on that page where you can ask an audio question and maybe you'll even hear your voice on the air. Liston.io/podcast.
Who's been your most famous guest thus far on the Liston.io show?
Famous by what kind of standard? Like if I asked someone on the street.
Oh, come on. I didn't want this to be a big complicated section.
I would say most well-known of all of my guests. Yeah. I would say Blair Enns.
Perhaps measured by Twitter followers.
The podcast also features people like Blair Enns, Jonathan Stark, and...
And you.
Jake Jorgevan. I'm not sure who else people would recognize.
Nice. Awesome.
What would you like to promote, Philip?
I want to promote you, but I'm not sure how to do that. So I'll I'll promote Specialization School.
Oh, damn you. That was a feeble attempt.
I know.
Specialization School.
Next cohort begins in October of 2018. So I just had a sales call with a guy today for the first workshop. Out of the blue, he emailed me and he's like, hey, I think I need this workshop. Here's where I'm at in my business. We get on the phone. It's going to be a good fit for him. So the first workshop is all about making that decision about how to specialize. We talked about this last week in the entire, you know, the whole show was half of it was an ad for Specialization School. So our regular listeners will know what this is, but maybe folks who haven't checked it out would want to head over to specializationschool.com, see what's on offer there, which is a series of workshops that will help you decide how to specialize and then help you start marketing like a specialist.
Love that. Okay. Since you were going to promote me but didn't, and after hearing your latest promotion, I have to promote one other thing. By the time this comes out, October 9th is coming up right around the corner, and I am running my second cohort of ConsultingSalesBootcamp.com. So that it's an online learning experience that helps consultants, professional service providers, people who sell services and expertise for a living, sell with confidence. In the program, it will be transformative. You will walk out with a sales playbook that you can use to more effectively run your sales and then build the skills along the way to really make you feel confident every time you enter a new client conversation. SalesConsultingBootcamp.com. End of promotions, Philip. I'm done.
Boom.
Do you want to set it up or shall I?
So I'm very curious. You said we're going to talk about paid acquisition.
Yeah.
And a choice that you have to make about how to do that. You've already decided it's a thing you're going to do.
Slight correction. It's a thing that I would like to try.
Okay, but you've made the decision that probably you're going to invest in it somehow.
I'm definitely going to invest in it, and I even know how much.
Right. So you got a budget, you have an intention to, and just in case it's, I think most people understand the idea of paid acquisition, but it's paying for traffic or clicks or paying to run ads. It can mean a lot of specific things, but the idea is Listen's going to give somebody a credit card and something's going to happen. He's going to get traffic he wouldn't otherwise get as a result of doing that.
Right.
So this is kind of about the implementation. Like, how do you approach it? And you've got this question, do you sort of just pay somebody to do it, hand it off to them, and watch those sweet, sweet site visits roll in?
Cash money, son.
Or do you get somebody to sort of sit beside you, perhaps in a virtual sense, and teach you how to do it as they're perhaps doing it for you the first time, but they're really doing some knowledge transfer? That's your choice, yeah. Right? That's
or
Liston's choice.
Third choice is, there's two more choices. One is just fumble around relentlessly and hope that I land on something that works.
Mm-hmm.
I could read some articles. I could go watch some videos.
Yep.
One of the challenges with doing any sort of, I hate the word growth hacking because it's a bunch of BS in my opinion, but the problem with any sort of digital marketing and learning about it is that by the time the content is published, it's probably relatively out of date. So that would be one option. And the last option would be I could go pay someone who's developed a course that's very recently done. They're a known expert. They have results, proven results, and I could go learn from them. So I think those were the options that I saw in front of me.
Yep. I mean, there's the do nothing option that always has a sort of implicit place on every list, but that's obviously out of scope for because you've decided you are not doing nothing.
Correct.
You're going to do something. So let's back up, though. I think it's okay to start here. Why paid acquisition?
I knew it.
You knew it?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Well, come on. You always ask me that. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I want to do this thing. You're like, why do you want to do that thing? That's your first question every time. So, of course, it's fair game.
Once again, my advice has been weaponized against me.
That's right.
So why paid acquisition? Let's take a step back. One problem that I think most people have in their consulting businesses is there can be some ups and downs unless you have a very long line of people who want to work with you that is always replenishing itself.
Right.
So it's not just do I have a long line today, it's that you need to have a long line forever.
Yeah.
In order to be able to say no to the people you don't want to work with and just pick and choose the ones you do. Okay, so we all agree that that's something that's an issue. There are lots of ways to solve that problem. I've done some of them. So I have LinkedIn running for me. I have partnerships that I've probably neglected at this point and can kick back up. There's some referrals that I could be asking for. I do email marketing. I do other social marketing. There's all these different things I'm doing in order to develop leads. One thing that I've resisted doing is paying for traffic. The reason I've resisted it is I wanted to prove that I could earn business organically without going down that road. Plus, when you're paying for it, you really need a proven position, message, product, like there has to be some things in place long before you're willing to pay for anything because you just don't know what's going to work or not.
It feels like almost a good rule of thumb. Like if you can't get it for free, don't try to buy it. And we're talking about the attention of prospective clients. If you can't get it for free, forget about trying to buy it, pay for it.
I think it's a good rule of thumb. I think if you wanted to do a $100 test, to see will someone respond to this lead magnet or will someone respond to this message, that's fine. But I think to say, I want a major source of leads to be through paid acquisition, mm-hmm. I think that's a mistake until you have something that's a little bit more proven.
Nice.
Did I answer your question?
100%. Moving on.
Okay. So what I want is to have some percentage of my business going through paid acquisition. And the great thing about paid acquisition, and you've, if you're listening to this, probably you've heard online marketers talk about, it's just like turning on the faucet. You turn it on and a bunch of business comes out, and who wouldn't do that? You know, I was listening to a webinar yesterday from a guy who's very successful as of recently, Sam Ovens. Are you familiar with consulting.com?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. So he has this great part of the webinar where he shows his funnel, which is pretty much what I'm going to be using. And he does the math. He's like, well, it's $1 a click on Facebook, and then some people will convert, and then some people will watch your webinar, and then some people will book a call, and then some people will actually work with you. But he missed a few steps and he did the math wrong, but we'll, we'll leave that out.
Can I also interject here that when you type Sam Ovens into Google, the second autocomplete option scam. Is Sam Ovens scam.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Anyway.
Maybe that's another topic for another episode. But what I was going to say is the problem with making sort of I'll change your life promises is that it'll only apply to, say, 5% or less of people, probably more like 1%. And so if people really buy in literally to what he's saying, a lot of people are going to be disappointed. So I'm not surprised by that at all. So I don't want to sell like that. However, it would be nice for me to be able to say, okay, I think on average, if it's going to cost me, say, $1,000 to get a new client for my sales program, and I can probably acquire 5 a month through paid, mm-hmm. right? That would be a great place to be in, because then I can work these other channels, which ultimately are going to be more important than paid. But the nice thing about paid is it allows me to serve more people faster who otherwise never would have known about me.
Can you unpack that a little bit? Because I have to confess, it's a little embarrassing. I have this filter anytime the word paid traffic comes up. And so I think I'm not getting the point because of this filter.
Philip has a mental block.
It's embarrassing, but I'll readily confess that
sure.
What I heard you say, and this will be funny, I think, to the listeners, is I heard you say the sort of organic free sources of traffic are the ones I should be working on, but I'm going to do paid anyway. Like, that's how my mind twisted what you said.
No, so, that's not what I'm saying. So you did twist it.
And I know, I'm aware of that. So tell me what I'm missing here.
So what I'm saying is, okay, so I've talked, I don't know about on this podcast, but in webinars and other things that I've done about what I call the now and later strategy.
Okay.
Right? So core problem in business is I want results now, and there's some really cool things that are going to take 6 to 12 to 24 months for me to achieve. That's the later part. And the problem is, for me to ever arrive at later, I have to do now and later today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You with me so far?
Right. And the normal solution to that is you figure out something that produces revenue now that can just, you can do part-time while you're working on later.
Right. Okay. So now for me, is I want to increase the amount of revenue, and I want to start to scale up the number of people that I can serve through my business, which is one of the core reasons why I created Consulting Sales Bootcamp, which I mentioned earlier, which I would just call my sales program.
Sure.
And so once I have that asset built, I can bring in more people to go through it. I've also learned in selling it the first time that most people need a few months of exposure to me before they're likely to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And the later part is the organic word of mouth, sort of the virality, right?
Sure.
Listen starts to accrue, and I don't always talk about myself in the third person, but for the benefit of this conversation, I start to accrue more word of mouth, and I have a natural organic growing presence and audience as a result of all of this hard work that I'm doing.
Which is the only way that I've tried with growing my business, and will readily admit I have this sort of irrational defense of that where I'm like, that's doing it the right way. That's really earning it. Anyway, leaving that aside.
Okay, so I'm going to address that in a second.
I'm with you so far.
I have an anecdote to share,
yeah.
But a concrete example. So later is virality, word of mouth, like, people just like what I have to say and it's helpful to them.
Yeah. Inbound content marketing.
Yes.
Nurturing people on an email list. Those are all other later strategies.
Right. And I'm doing all that stuff already.
Yep.
So why paid? How does this fit in? If ultimately what I want is word of mouth, here's what I think. I can reach people who need my help today who have no other chance of finding out about me unless I'm paying for ads to be in front of them. And I think I can sell to them in a way that's not scammy, that's not making unrealistic promises, but still maybe big promises. And if they go through my program, I increase the speed and the likelihood of increasing my word of mouth. I get more people on my email list. Mm-hmm. I get more people exposed to my podcast. I get more people on the offline podcast, which Philip is good for you. Okay.
That's hilarious. Okay. I'm totally sold.
Now you're in, right?
I'm all in.
Okay, cool. The idea is I want to increase exposure in order to get to that place where the flywheel is working for me.
Okay. But let's say you could do some amount of paid ad spend, right? You could get 1,000 people on your email list and what, 10 signing up for the program?
Yeah.
So when you say increase exposure, you're really looking at that 1,000 number, not the 10.
Well, no, this is about acquisition. We started this with paid acquisition, right?
Yeah.
If I'm selling my program for whatever it is, I want my target revenue divided by the number of people I want to get through paid acquisition, right? That's how I'm going to approach this. I know, though, only a subset of the people who interact with my ads, take the lead magnet and watch the webinar, will get on a call with me, and a subset of them will buy.
Right.
In a perfect world, right?
Totally.
I'll have some people buy. Yeah, I don't see what the problem is there.
No problem. I'm just trying to be clear. So, let's say those numbers are true. I don't think they're that wildly off from what you might be able to expect. Let's say you could get 1,000 people on your email list, 100 watching a webinar, and 10 buying.
Okay.
I mean, should we tweak those numbers just so that we have a sort
no,
of
that's
concrete?
Fine.
Okay. It's good enough for an example.
I think that's about right. I was thinking somewhere between 8 and 10 through paid acquisition.
Yeah, we'll just go with 10 to keep it round numbers. Those 10 people will be, your margin on those students will be lower because of the cost of acquiring was higher than these quote unquote free things, which they all have a cost in terms of time.
They're not free,
but also you're not necessarily money out of pocket with those. There might be an opportunity cost to the time. There might be all sorts of costs, but not money out of pocket.
Well, there could be. One thing we haven't talked about is I am planning to do an affiliate program this time. So basically I'd put up a unique form and landing page for people. And then I would pay them essentially what I think it would cost me to acquire through paid on each closed deal.
Okay. But they will still be profitable students. You're not going to do this at a loss.
Oh my gosh, yes. No, no.
Okay. And I'm just really trying to work through this example with you. So I don't have some secret point where I'm going to be like, haha, I've proven you wrong. I really, again, just walking through this at the detail level.
So I think this is a good point, though. I do want to say one thing, which is I'm going into this with the expectation that I could lose all of the money that I spend on it.
Meaning you could get some students, but not make a penny on those students per se. Is that what you mean?
No, I mean literally lose all of it.
Oh, you could get zero students. You're budgeting an amount that you can afford to lose.
Well, of course. And so it's just like if you had $10,000 to invest in a stock.
Mm-hmm.
I had someone ask me this. They're like, should I invest in Bitcoin? Because I shared with them, I bought some Bitcoin. I don't know when it was, but it went up a ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
And then I sold it.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I have $1,000. Should I invest it in Bitcoin? And I said, do you need the $1,000? And he said, yes. And I was like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because you could lose it all. That's a very likely outcome.
Right.
And so that's how I feel about paid acquisition also is I'm hiring a friend to help me out. He may never make the money back that I'm paying him.
Yeah.
And he may never sell a single seat to Consulting Sales Bootcamp, through this paid acquisition, or we may never, I should say, because I have a hand in it too. And so I do want to make the point that going into this, this shouldn't be like a Hail Mary for your business. This should be treated as essentially a five-figure experiment. I'm going to throw some money after this because I think it's worthwhile. And if it worked, holy shit, wouldn't that be nice? Because I can do it again in January and February and March and April and just keep going with it.
Yeah.
But it's going to take, my guess is, about 3 months for us to feel like we really feel like we're getting a sense of how to do this.
So back to my example, I promise I'll let this go in a minute, but I just want to understand. So
no, you won't.
We're painting us an optimistic scenario with 1,000 new list members. What was it? 100 people on a webinar, 10 sales. So how does that relate to the exposure that you mentioned earlier? Is it the 10 people who might end up paying you, like they're the exposure, or is it the people on your email list where you think, okay, some of them will not buy, but maybe buy later? How do you think about that is really what I'm getting at.
Well, so there's a magnitude, right? So, all right, so here's the funnel. So essentially what I want everyone to drive to is a strategy call.
Okay.
And that's where the sales will happen.
Right.
So it could be watch a video here, take this download if you want it. Maybe it's, I'm thinking of something like the 5 shifts to make in the way you sell to land more clients immediately, something like that, like a simple 2-page PDF,
yeah,
which drives to a free training, online training, which is a pre-recorded webinar, which then says, hey, we should jump on the phone because I think I can help you.
Yeah.
And the farther people go, the more exposure they have to me, the stronger the possibility of word of mouth and the stronger that level of endorsement.
Yeah.
So if I have 10 people who sign up for Consulting Sales Bootcamp, the level of the endorsement that I could get from them is way greater than the 1,000 people who are on the email list.
Mm-hmm.
However, those 1,000 emails didn't know who the hell I was before.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they'll buy in the future. Maybe they'll tell someone else, you really need to listen to Liston's podcast and you really need to get on his newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I think each of those has value to me and my business, but I think that there's a magnitude effect the farther someone gets in that process.
All right. I think I'm with you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So did we cover the whole why paid acquisition part?
I think enough. Every time we bring up one of these, I know sometimes I'm frustrating to you, my friend, because...
Oh, you're not frustrating.
These are like simple questions, but I'm like, oh, there's so much nuance there. So I definitely see the nuance, and I feel like we maybe could have a whole nother podcast where we get into some of the more of the nuance. Especially that now versus later thing. I think we could do a great episode about that. But let's leave this for now and move on to what we said we were going to do, which is talk about how do you implement this? You laid out the choices for implementation. How are you thinking about that?
So here's how I thought about it. So I interviewed a few people. I've interviewed lots of different service providers.
Yeah.
And I probably owe some of them responses. I love you if you're listening to this.
They're listening, hoping to gain some insight into you, whether you're going to hire them or not.
Right. I know they're taking like sales notes right now. I interviewed a couple coaches.
Wait, hold on. I'm so sorry. Are there other assumptions, like you're definitely going to use Facebook, or like, are there other constraints in how you're doing this?
That would affect who I'm talking to.
Right. Yeah. That's why I ask.
My feeling is the cheap clicks are located in two places. One is Instagram and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that things are more affordable there.
Yeah.
And then the second is podcast advertising, which I'm going to handle on my own.
Okay, great. I'm glad I asked. Okay, so you're really thinking basically social media advertising, basically Facebook plus Instagram.
Yeah, I think those will be the main channels. I'm going to start running some podcast ads just to see how those perform as part of the mix. There's also, let me just introduce some more nuance here.
Okay.
So once you go down the road of paid acquisition, it's like, okay, well, who do I target? I already have people who have been to my website, who are on my email list, and who are connected with me on LinkedIn and see my content regularly.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be way cheaper to advertise to them and get them to exhibit the behaviors that I want than to convert cold traffic who doesn't know who the hell I am.
Yeah.
That'll be the first part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a skill unto itself, retargeting. And then the second part of it is, okay, how do I go to cold, net new people? And basically warm them up to who I am,
yeah,
and then actually try to sell them something. And that, my friend, is one of the hardest freaking things to do in business.
Like you, echoing back something you said earlier, that sort of amazing idea that you could just put some money into a machine and more money comes out the other end is the underpinning of so many things that are so appealing. I say things because it could be info products or courses or services or scams or you name it, right?
It is funny because like the Sam Ovens and other people who sell sort of these paid acquisition kind of courses, they really act like put a dollar in the vending machine, hit the button and $100 bill drops down. It's amazing. Who wouldn't do that?
Well, and it would be a no-brainer. You would have to be sort of an idiot to not at least be interested in that idea, right?
Yeah, you would have to be an idiot to not at least entertain it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the idea. And it's not going to be a 100x return, right? It's not going to be the put a dollar in and get 100 out, but I think it will still be profitable. And also, this is another reason to play at larger numbers because you don't have such a tight margin and you don't have so much at risk for each acquisition.
Yeah.
So, okay. So how did I approach this?
We've acknowledged that this is an interesting idea. You're learning something that's not easy, or there's some risk and there's
and a not cheap
serious learning curve, and there's like cash on the barrel head, enough cash to buy a used car, right?
Pretty nice used car to buy the minivan that I want. Yes.
for the kids that you're someday going to have. Yeah.
I want a minivan regardless. That's another podcast episode. Go ahead.
Are you serious?
I am serious. I love minivans.
Oh, tell me more, but not now. Anyway, later, okay. Next time we talk. I've kind of framed this as you could learn this by having somebody sit beside you virtually and sort of do it, but also teach you, or you could just hand it off to them. How are you thinking about those two choices?
Here's what I thought. I think what a lot of people will do is they'll go in and they'll hire someone to just do it, right? Just do this for me. And I see a lot of benefit to that because trust me, it's not like I'm sitting around going, what am I going to do with my day?
Yeah.
So I understand the allure of that and the draw for it. However, at this point in my business, being able to acquire new business cold would be an amazing skill to understand. Not that I have no idea how to do that, but right, to do it through paid acquisition channels is something that will be a major asset to my business. And the flip side of that is if I outsourced it, it now becomes a liability to my business. I'm reliant on someone else who's killing it for me. And if they get hit by a bus, I have no idea how to duplicate what they did. And that is bad.
Right. Or you can't cross-check, you know, like you can't understand, oh, you did something different this month. The numbers went down. I think I know what it is. Let's go back to the old thing. Or you can't like connect your brain with theirs and troubleshoot or add value to what they're doing. Don't spend a lot of time on this question, but are you already thinking about other usages for this skill if you acquire it yourself and you get reasonably good at it? You said it's like a superpower. What else are you thinking you might use it for? Just more of the same? Or do you have some other idea that you're sitting under your hat, so to speak?
Gosh, that's a good question. No, I hadn't thought about it.
So you're just thinking like, it makes my business better. It's a superpower. But the use case for it is really selling more seats in your boot camp.
Yeah. I mean, selling more seats, getting more podcasts. I mean, there are other aspects of my business that would benefit from this. So like growing that audience, you know, it's sort of like a catalyst. Like if I want to build this raging fire, I could throw more wood on it or throw more fuel on it. And that makes a difference. And I think that that's kind of the key idea that I'm going for. I'm not looking at it as, I think a big mistake that a lot of people make, and I hear this a lot, is they go, well, people say you should have a podcast and do this and do that and do that. What you really should do is choose one single source and bet your whole business on that. And that just seems stupid to me. It's a great marketing position to be in, to say everyone else is wrong, just do this one thing.
Right.
But the world is way more complicated than that. And what if it shifts? I mean, I read a stat today that Facebook advertising is 29% more expensive this year than last year. Yeah. Well, that's just going to keep going up, right? And then eventually there will be a new thing that we all have to figure out. Like I was listening to Gary Vee talk about Alexa skills, which actually is really a really exciting idea to me. But it's like you're going to have to adapt to these new things anyway.
Yeah.
So how did I think about it? So I crossed off the list completely done for me with no involvement from me, because I think this is a valuable skill for me and it's an asset for my business and a potential liability if I don't participate. So I need to know what's going on. I need to know why things are working. I need to know how much we're spending. I need to know, do we want to turn up the credit card or turn it down? Because I have to pay the bill at the end of the month.
Right.
So that's the first option. The second option was, let's go to take a class. Here's what I don't want to spend my time doing. Going in and monkeying around with the particulars of the Facebook ads platform.
Okay.
Clicking all the buttons in the right order, doing the right things. Like, I don't want to do that. What I want to do is focus on the strategy of it and sort of the why. Like, why are we doing this? Why do we think it's going to work? And then assess what happened after period X, let's say 1 week or 2 weeks, and then regroup and do it again, right? And just keep on that cycle. That's what I want to participate in. And so taking a course forces me to not only learn the contents of the course and be, let's be honest, average or below average at it in the beginning, which is a waste of time, but it also forces me to do a lot of the things that I don't want to do, which is the setup and the checking on it and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't. So to me, a course was just like not a good idea.
To me, that's an unavoidable part of learning, is being okay with being bad at something for long enough to become not bad at it.
Right.
That's part of the deal. And I think that's worth doing for some things, but in this case, it may very well not be. There might be a way you can, in fact, like this skill is not quite a commodity. Setting up ads and making them work, I would not call that a commodity skill.
Okay, so hold on though.
Yeah.
So is the setting up the ads part, that's a commodity. Making them work, that's the really fucking difficult work.
Yeah, I was sloppy in my speak. Like when I say setting it up.
No. I understood what you were saying, but I do want to make this distinction. So
yeah, there's a strategy component that comes before the setting up. The setting it up might just be using Facebook software to get them running.
Yeah, which it's like a pretty smart monkey can do that part.
Right, but the strategy part is not commodity.
And so I actually did take a Facebook ads course at one point. Mm-hmm. I think I've taken a couple in various forms, like at different levels of seriousness.
Yeah.
And what they teach you to do really well is how to go in and click the right buttons in the right order.
Dear God.
What they're really weak on is how to devise a strategy that's going to work for your business. Because let's be honest, that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, but that's the opposite of what they should be. Like, those buttons change all the freaking time.
No kidding, man.
Like, maintaining a video course that has any part of Facebook's UI baked into it, it sounds like a nightmare to me. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. The course thing seemed like not the greatest idea either.
I can see that.
Yeah. And then, of course, I just didn't want to spend time going and gathering free information because I don't know. I mean, I put out a lot of free information and I think it's good. But the hard part about free information is you don't really know what the quality is. And even reputable sources now put out so much content that my guess is most of it's not very good.
A brief tangent here, if I may.
You may.
So I wrapped up a round of specialization school workshops, reached out to all the participants and asked for feedback. And of course, for social proof. And one of the guys wrote back and said, this just was so great. He was like, a little too soon for social proof. I need some more time to implement what we did. Circle back in a couple months and we'll talk then. But he also offhand mentioned that every testimonial on my website, he had gone and looked up the person. I thought this was awesome to make sure that what they were saying matched what he was seeing me portray of them through the testimonial on my website. And I was like, hot damn. First of all, he did that and then still hired me. So I passed like a really rigorous scrutiny.
Yeah.
And then second, you know, good on you for doing that.
Yeah.
Anonymous person who I won't name here, who did that level of due diligence before he spent money on some dude on the internet. I thought that was very cool. Anyway, back to what you were saying. I think it was established that you like trying to piece together information or even buy a course that seems reasonably up to date is probably not the right approach for you.
Right. So here's where I landed. This is ultimately what I decided. So I am paying someone. You know, one of the nice things about the arrangement is that I'm trading my coaching services and I'm getting his services to not only, this is the other thing, is I didn't just want someone buying ads for me. I also wanted a partner in the process of creating the funnel and the overall strategy. And so it made it a little bit more affordable for me, which is great. He wins because he gets coaching with me, which is something he wanted anyways.
Yeah.
And we really get to start what I view as essentially a partnership together, even though he's a paid consultant.
What makes it a partnership? Is he going to get a percentage or?
Well, I mean, no, he's not going to get a percentage. Although I would be open to that in the future. Like once this is proven, I'd be totally fine with that.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was fair going in because it may not work.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So yeah, I wanted to, you mentioned earlier, like the problem with learning anything is that it's, you have to be bad at something in order to be good at it. And I really looked at this as not an apprenticeship, but because I think he has a lot to learn too, but he's incredibly smart. He's incredibly focused on this. This is something he wants to put into place for his own business.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of gets to do it with my credit card, which is pretty nice for him. But we both get to learn really, really fast as a result of the stakes of the experiment and the live nature of it. And the fact that there's real money on the line for both of us, because from his perspective, I'm sure he wants to continue to work with me. And so if it goes well, he continues to get paid. And from my perspective, I want this to be a channel where I can turn it on and turn it off as needed.
Yeah, your version one in this arrangement is going to be way better than your version one if you're buying some course on Facebook ads or something.
Exactly right.
Right. And one of the other things that I have recently seen about learning is that you have to have these tight feedback loops and there has to be pain or consequences involved.
Yes.
So you've got both of those. You know, you've got the skin in the game of like, well, I'm funding this ad buy. And maybe that's what you meant when you said it's a partnership. It's like you both have skin in the game, it sounds like.
I do think we do. Yeah.
The feedback loop is pretty tight. It's not like content marketing where you could spend months writing and publishing stuff and just not really have an idea of how effective it is with this is a measurable thing and you've got the dashboard showing you what yesterday looked like. And so it's pretty tight feedback loop.
Well, there are no lies in performance marketing. If our goal is to drive revenue, it's going to be really, really clear what that is.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to the experiment, and that's how I arrived at it, is I wanted to learn quickly. I didn't want to outsource all of the knowledge of what would be learned along the way. So I need to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And this seemed like really the only way to make that happen. And I will admit, I could have engaged with someone who has more experience doing this exact thing, but I think they would have been out of my price range.
Gotcha. So like a really good, solid agency that's doing this all the time, out of your price range and maybe not as willing to sit shoulder to shoulder with you and teach you what they're doing?
They wouldn't be, because I would just be like way too small for them. So I've talked to other people who do Facebook marketing, not other as in people like me who do Facebook marketing, but
yeah,
people who do that professionally. And usually they won't take on a client, the good ones, for less than say $30,000 or $50,000 a month in ad spend.
Okay.
And that's really small time. I mean, they have clients who are spending hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars a month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting. Okay, well, that's what I thought you had decided. It seemed to me like that was, you're already working your ass off, so why not spend a little more time on this?
Right.
For the obvious benefits of the transparency and just learning this skill. So I figured that's what you would choose. That's what I would have chosen too.
Philip, have I changed your opinion about paid traffic?
First of all, I made a note. We're going to check back in on this in, what, 2-3 months maybe? is an adequate time frame.
Yeah.
Sort of, but not really.
Okay.
And of course, I can't help but think about this through the lens of like, what's going to make an interesting podcast?
Okay. Disagreeing with me.
Well, to an extent, but you know, it can't just be only that. As I get more clear about what I'm trying to help people do, I realize I'm trying to help people cultivate this economically valuable expertise.
Yeah.
So that they can function like an expert, both from a marketing and positioning perspective, and also from like a economics of their business perspective, from a business model perspective.
Right.
So my business might look different than it does today, 2-3 years from now, based on this clarity. And so I'm always trying to think about things like paid advertising or paid acquisition from an objective perspective, but also through the lens of what I'm trying to help people do. And so I'm always trying to see like, how does it fit into that? And, you know, you're an expert with economically valuable expertise. So I'm very interested to see how you incorporate it into your business, but your services don't look like six-figure contracts 2-3 times a year.
I think it could still work for that. It would just be a different approach.
Okay. That's where I feel like Sam Ovens notwithstanding. I don't know whether that guy's a scam or not. I wasn't trying to imply he was, although he does definitely set off some alarm bells for me.
Yeah.
His advertising does. I've never met the guy, so I don't have some kind of insight into who he is as a person or his business, but his advertising triggers some alarm bells. But I haven't seen the example of the, hey, I'm going to help you, I'm going to build 6 figures worth of software for your business, that type of expert who is using paid acquisition. I want to see it, but I'm just sort of suspending belief or disbelief until I see some evidence. I'm coming at this from a different perspective, and I think it's a fun tension for us to explore. So I probably will say that you haven't convinced me for now, but also I don't disagree with anything you're doing. It's very interesting to me. I'm just also over here trying to rep a sort of slightly different viewpoint on this.
Mm-hmm. You're repping it hard too, Philip.
I know. Well, again, we got to make an interesting podcast here.
I love it. All right. Well, I think we covered it. Is there anything else we should say about this?
I hope I haven't diminished your birthday at all with my questioning. Again,
No.
Once they're really interested here.
No, you haven't.
I just can't wait to, like, I want this to work for you, because if it does, it's going to change things for me. I don't know if you know this about me. I'm a little bit of a late adopter. I'm a little bit risk averse.
Uh-huh.
In a lot of areas of my life. I've done some crazy shit.
Uh-huh.
And I have taken on some incredible risks, but I have this weird sort of risk aversion. So that's why I want to see this work for you, is because that way you can figure it out and I can learn from you.
And then you can draft in my lane. I like that.
Yeah, I'm totally going to draft behind your tailwind, buddy.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, and I hope it works too. I mean, like I said, I don't know. I think there's really strong reason to believe that it can.
Yeah.
I'll leave with this anecdote that I was going to share earlier. Yeah. Did we talk on the podcast about how I had a video go viral on LinkedIn and how that was like a whole thing?
I'm pretty sure we have touched on that. Yeah.
All right. So I put up on my website, contact me for a strategy call over the weekend. And I had someone fill out the form on Monday.
Yeah.
And book a call with me on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I looked into his activity in ActiveCampaign, my CRM and email marketing platform, and saw that he came from that viral video.
Oh, wow.
He took the opt-in for, what was it? Get your free follow-up email sales template.
Mm-hmm.
And so he opted in, and he's been on my email list for, let's say, 2.5 months.
Okay.
And I said, why are you on the phone with me? And he goes, I just know I need help with my consulting business, and I don't know what I don't know, and I need some help being pointed in the right direction.
Right.
So imagine if I can reach more people like him through paid advertising. That's what I want to leave you with. My content is already working. If I can get more exposure on that content, more people will be in a position to want to work with me. I rest my case. That's it, Philip.
I wish you could drop the microphone that you're speaking
to, but it's on a boom. Except I would never drop this microphone because I love it so much.
A really expensive, nice microphone. That's a good place to end it, buddy. Yeah. It's so great talking to you, and I hope you have a wonderful birthday.
Thank you, sir. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.